And turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea, chapter 1. And just going to be looking at the first verse here tonight and giving an introductory message, if you will, into the book of Hosea. But here in the book of Hosea, we're going to see that it's talking about a couple of things, talking about Hosea and his wife, and then also Israel and their relationship with the Lord. And in both of those relationships, we're going to see a string, if you will, of unfaithfulness in both of those. And we're going to see a land that has turned to apostasy. We're going to see this wife that is not faithful to her husband. And though it is speaking here, of course, primarily of the nation of Israel and what's going to happen to them there's an application that can be made to our nation as well. Because the truth of the matter is, America, as great of a country as it is steeped in sin. And it is living in a very unfaithful way, of course, against God. And it's my prayer that each and every one of us, through the study of the book of Hosea, we will be become even more burdened to preach the gospel to this lost and dying world and to this nation that we live in, to our community, to our state, and to this nation here. And will the Lord help us as we go through this here to be burdened for this people. But here in Hosea chapter 1, notice verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I believe that's all of us. Verse 1 says this: "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel." Now we're going to stop there just for tonight here. We're going to read some verses that go throughout this message tonight and some other portions of the Bible and all of that. But I want to open with a word of prayer, and then we will get started with the message here this evening. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for everything done for us, Lord, and the way that you have inspired your word, you have preserved it for us. And Lord, I do pray that each and every one of us would see your word, Lord, as straight from your lips. And Lord, I pray that we would just learn from this, Lord, as we go through this study of Hosea. Lord, I do pray that each one of us would become burdened for this people that you have put us in the midst of. And Lord, I pray that we would stay true to you and be faithful to you, Lord. I pray if there's anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, they'd come to know you tonight. And I ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So notice here, the book of Hosea, as we read through this book, we're going to find that it's found in, of course, what we consider the minor prophets. Now, we know that they're not minor because their message was not as important as the major prophets. When you think of Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and one like that, you would call them major prophets. It has nothing to do with the importance of their message. No, it has to do with the scope of their message. It was their, as a whole, their shorter books. They're dealt with just one thing in particular a lot of times. And a lot of these minor prophets, as we're going to see in some ones that are contemporaries with Hosea and all, they were ones that the Lord used to give a harsh warning to kings. They're ones that the Lord used to give a harsh warning to nations. You think of Jonah. He was considered one of the minor prophets, but he was the preacher that God sent to go to Nineveh. And the Bible declares that that was a great city. It was a huge city. 3 days' journey. It was a very large place, but God called what we would consider one of the minor prophets to go there. Now, we know, of course, the Word of God is inspired by God, is preserved for us, and preservation is a wonderful thing. Why do we have the minor prophets? Because God preserved these Scriptures for us. One man said it this way, what good is inspiration without preservation? Because if it was not preserved, then it would be no good except for that first generation. That is so true. The Lord kept these words for you and I to learn from. That's why he preserved the Scriptures. That's why we have what we have. This was not because just some men found some papers sitting around somewhere and said, you know what, that looks great, and the man's name is Hosea. We're going to put it in a book and call it the Book of Hosea. That's not what happened here. This is inspired by God, and as we read through this, these are the words of our Lord God Almighty. So we're going to look at the Book of Hosea and learn some things about Israel, but most importantly, I want us to learn how we can live for God and do God's will, remain faithful in the midst of an apostatizing people. I want to preach you a message that I have entitled this tonight, Hosea, a Prophet Living Amongst Apostasy. You know, this man Hosea here, as we read through this book, you're going to see different things about unfaithfulness, and his wife is going to commit adultery, and just all sorts of things are going to go on in this book here. What we're going to see is this man Hosea, he was called by God to remain faithful. And each and every one of us, as we are living here in this world, as we are going through the things that this world is doing and all of that, there's apostasy all around us. There's sin all around us. There's evil deeds that are happening everywhere. You can't even turn on the television or the radio or anything like that. You can't even drive down the road without seeing sinful things all over billboards and signs and all of that. Why is that? Because we're living in a land that is full of apostasy. We're living in a land that is full of sin. We're living in a land that is turned against God, because we're living in a land in which people are following after their own flesh. Our flesh is bent away from God. Our flesh does not want to serve God. Therefore, the flesh wants to go that other direction. It doesn't want to obey God's words. It doesn't want to say that the word of God is the authority. And we're going to see the things that happen, repercussions, if you will, of that mindset as we go through the book of Hosea. So first of all, notice number one here tonight. Notice, who is Hosea? Look at verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea. We see here that this book, as I mentioned there, it's considered one of the minor prophets, from Hosea to Malachi. And these are some shorter books. A lot of them cover a lesser period of time than the major prophets do there. But these books of the Bibles are just as any other book. But this man, Hosea, he has a very interesting name. Now, think about the time in which he was living in. And we're going to discuss this here a little bit tonight. But the time in which he was living in was a time of apostasy. But the name Hosea, it means this: salvation. That's what his name means. God called this man Hosea, in which his name means salvation. He has called him to be a prophet to this land here. We also see another version of this name, if you will, over in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, Hosea is also a name that Joshua was known by. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 44. 32 and verse 44. Notice what the Bible says here. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun. That is speaking, an older form, if you will, of the name of Hosea. I want you to look also in 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. Second Kings chapter 17 and verse 1 through 6. This is a king of Israel that we're going to read about here. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 6. The Bible says this: in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. Now, we're going to stop there just for time's sake tonight, but notice we see that Hoshea there, that's the same name as the name Hosea. And we see this one here, and whenever you read about the kings in Israel, what you're going to find is they were known by one of two phrases. Either they did not do right in the eyes of the Lord, or they did right in the eyes of the Lord. You're going to find that with each and every king. This one here, of course, it says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. This man here, he was not one that was known for following God. So we see this name, Hosea or Hoshea there. We see it throughout the Old Testament, and his name means salvation. But then also we see his father there in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 1. Notice the son of Beeri. Notice we find his name Beeri there, and that means this. That means expounder. His dad's name, that's what it means, is expounder there. This name Hosea means salvation. His father's name means expounder. But then as we study this man Hosea, as you're going to figure out some things about this man, you're not going to find much. You're not going to find much about his background. You're not going to find him mentioned many times throughout the Bible. We do not find a lot about this man other than his father's name. We do not know about his past. All we know is about two things: his marriage and his message. That's all we know about this man. We're going to see here that Hosea was a man who the Lord desired to use, and Hosea had a message that he was to preach to these people here. He was a man in which God was going to use in a great way, but he was also a man who had trials, just like you and I have trials. This man is going to be preaching this message. He's going to be living during this time and trying to do what God's called him to do. Meanwhile, the devil is attacking his very household. The devil's attacking his marriage. The devil has convinced Hosea's wife that she is to just go out and just live unfaithfully. That's what the devil has done there. But we're going to see Hosea is the man that is supposed to be found faithful. Each and every one of us are supposed to be found faithful as well. All of us are. Well, you just don't understand what's going on in my life, preacher. No, but I understand who God is, and hopefully you do as well. Amen. He can take us through anything. It doesn't matter what it is. We go through some terrible things in life. Some things are things that set us back a little bit. Some things where they may be a loss of a loved one or a loss of a job or something like that, whatever it may be that you've gone through. There's some terrible things that we go through, but all of those things are not put in our life to drive us away from God. They're put in our life to draw us closer to God. But we have to make that decision, whether or not we're going to allow it to draw us closer to God. As we study the Bible, we're going to find that there were many things that happened. I think of the Tower of Babel. I think of the flood. I think of Sodom and Gomorrah. I think of all of these things. What was God's plan and God's purpose through everything that he brings every person through? God's plan and purpose is to draw mankind to himself. That's his purpose. Hosea, he is going to go through some things here, and God is doing this in a way to draw him back to himself, in a way to draw Israel back to himself. We're going to find here that Hosea, as he is going through this book, he's talking about none other than the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the ones that what we would say know better. That have been taught what the scriptures have said, the ones that have grown up knowing exactly what they are to do, exactly what God has called them to do. This is the nation of Israel, the very children of God. And yet they're going against God here. Each and every one of us, we need to be found faithful. So notice, first of all, we see this man, Hosea. Notice, second of all, I want to talk to you about the recipients, if you will, of the book here. In the book of Hosea, we're going to find ourselves between 785 and 725 B.C. And during this time, the nation of Israel had already been divided. As you study the Bible, you're going to see that it was a united kingdom at first, and the nation of Israel is doing great, but then you're going to see a division. You're going to see the south be taken captive, and then you're going to see just the northern kingdom, and it's going to be taken captive. Babylon is going to take one, and Assyria is going to take the other. And so during this time here, it's already been split. It's not a united kingdom anymore. It's already been split. And this book was written during the life of Hosea. And Hosea was a prophet to the north. So when you think of this book here, think of the nation of Israel. And as you think of the nation of Israel, draw a line through it. And Hosea is a prophet to the north. And you're going to have these other ones we'll discuss in just a moment. They are going to be prophets to the south there. Some of them that were living at this same time were Amos and Micah. They were prophesying here as well, and Isaiah was prophesying in the south. So during the time of Hosea, this is, as we read the Bible, and I know my mind worked this way for a long time, I would read it as, okay, it must have been this prophet, and then this prophet, and then this prophet, and that just leads us down the timeline. That's not true. No, a lot of these men, they were prophesying at the same time. God was working with them in just different parts of the world. So we've got Hosea and Amos and Micah. We've got them in the north. And then we've got Isaiah. He's prophesying in the southern kingdom. And so just remember, when you think about Hosea, remember that when he was in the north prophesying for God, you've got Isaiah in the south also prophesying for God. Now, this was during the reign of Jeroboam II in Israel, of course, the north there. This book was primarily written to the northern kingdom. Now, we're going to see some terms as we go through this book, and it's important for us to keep these terms straight. As you read through, if you know what these terms are, then you're going to have a better understanding of what's going on. So you've got Hosea, and he is to the north. Isaiah to the south. You've got, when you read of Israel, it's going to be talking about the north. Also, when you read the word Ephraim, it's also talking about the north there. Look at verse 1 there. At the end of the verse, it says, King of Israel, that's talking about the north. Look at verse 4 through 6. Notice, and it says, the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to seize the kingdom of the house of Israel. Well, we know that this is speaking to the north. Therefore, as he's talking about avenging the blood here on the kingdom of the house of Israel, he's talking about the north. He's not talking about the whole nation as a whole. He's talking just about the north there. Chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Notice that's speaking of the north there. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel. It's speaking of the north. So as we go through this here, there's going to be some mentions of the south, and I'll point those out to us as we go through the book of Hosea here. But as a whole, the prophet Hosea is speaking to the north. You see, there is a man here, the king, Jeroboam II there. This is where, of course, he was leading over Israel. That's when where Hosea was living and prophesying. And he was living there and witnessing a lot of the apostasy that was going on under King Jeroboam II. But God was using Hosea here to speak against that wickedness that was going on. Now, of course, we mentioned that there was Amos and Micah as well, and some of them, as we go through here, we'll discuss a little bit about them as well, but you're going to see that one of them is traveling from the north to the south and prophesying in both of those areas there. But in this area in which Hosea is, notice, he's the voice that's crying out against this wickedness. You know what it does say here? It doesn't say that he had some great congregation that was there to help him. No, he was living in the midst of apostasy. He was living in the midst of wickedness. And even though the children of Israel had turned their back on God, even though they were serving under a king that was not leading them in the right direction, even though all of that was going on, God could have just wiped his hands of the northern kingdom and said, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of you turning your back on me. But he didn't do that. He sent a man to preach. This nation that we live in, God desires to use us to speak against the wickedness that's going on as well. God has not wiped his hands of America. Everything that America does against our God, and God still cares for America. He cares for each and every one of us. You know, as we look across this world, we see some things that are going on. I think of the war that's going on in the Ukraine. I think of the Russians. I think of Japan. I think of China. I think of all of these different ones, Africa and Asia, just all of these ones that we could mention as we go around and just mention all of these places. And I think of some wicked things that we've seen come out of each and every country. You know, God knew that that wickedness was going to come out of those countries. But yet, he still said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He did not say, go into all the world and try to make people just a little better. That's not what he said. He didn't say to go into all the world and preach what you think people want to hear. And when the Lord called Hosea here, when he told him that he's going to be prophesying to this northern kingdom here, God did not say, go out there to Israel and just give them something they want to hear. Just make them feel a little better about themselves. Just go out there and offer a little self-help class and maybe some people will start coming. But I don't want you to be in their face about it. That's not what God said. He called Hosea to go out and to tell these people that they were living in apostasy against God Almighty. And that's what Hosea was doing here. God desires to use us to speak against the wickedness that's going on around us. For too long, we as believers, we have been quiet when it comes to issues in our country. We have become lax on sin. We have become lax on evildoers. And we as believers, spiritually speaking, we have crawled into a hole and we have refused to speak out against sin. When we look at our nation, you see the wickedness that is running rampant. I don't blame it on the sinners. I blame it on myself. I blame it on each and every one of us as believers. Because we haven't been faithful to what God has called. God has never called us to act angry and to act out like fools, but we are supposed to stand up for what's right. The only reason that Hosea was able to be greatly used by God is because he was willing to be used exactly where God had him. That's where he was willing to be used. Where God had him living at that very moment. You know, too many times we as believers feel as though we cannot do anything great where we are. We feel as though, well, if God calls me to the mission field, I'll do great work for God. God's not going to call someone that's unfaithful to a place in which he needs someone to be faithful. It's not going to happen. No, we need to be faithful here. We need to be faithful where we are. Too many times we as believers, we get our eyes on somewhere else. God says, I have people all around you that need to be saved. Let's be faithful. God knows that faithfulness doesn't come from where we are physically, it comes from where we are spiritually. God calls the faithful to do great works for him. God called Hosea to remain faithful, to preach the word in the northern kingdom of Israel, a place that was wicked, a place that was straying from God, but God still cared for them. He sent Hosea to warn them, and that was in the north there, and God was calling Hosea. He says, look, go out because I care for my people. Go tell them exactly what I need you to tell them, exactly what they need to hear. God used these minor prophets in a great way. As we study the book of Jonah, you're going to see the great revival that went on in Nineveh. But then if you study through the minor prophets, you're going to find that not too long after that, Nineveh turned their backs on God again. Why is Nineveh not a group of people today that is still winning souls to the Lord? Why isn't there a people group that came out of Nineveh and they've been taught about that great revival when Jonah came in and walked through the streets there and told them that they needed to repent? Where are all those people that came from those ones that God saved? Where are all the ancestors that should have came from Nineveh? They're nowhere to be found because the Ninevites did not remain faithful. What's it going to be when people look back on our generation? You know, we have a generation of people today that say that God is doing great things through their life. And I praise the Lord for everything that He does in our lives. But how dare we say God is doing great things through my life, but yet we're not passing it on to the next generation? Too many people have this mindset as believers. Well, I've put in my time. You still have breath in your lungs. There's still more time to put in. Let's remain faithful. Let's remain do what God has called us to do. This place in which Hosea was ministering here, they were straying from God. But God cared for them. Of course, that was to the north primarily. Then we see some mentions of the southern kingdom as well. God does not leave out the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom during this time, it was under the reigns of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah. That was in the south. We're going to see that called Judah as we go through this book. And God specifically warned them as well. Look at Hosea chapter 4 and verse 15. Notice what the Bible says there. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 15. Hosea chapter 4 verse 15, the Bible says this. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. We see Judah mentioned there. Chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, in the pride of Israel doth testify to his face, therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. We see the north and the south mentioned there. Look at verse 10 of the same chapter. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them. Water. Look at verse 12 through 14. It says, therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, they then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of the wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. You see, we're seeing here mentioned the north. We're seeing the south as well. And we're seeing that God is mentioning both of these here. He did not leave out the south. No, he's talking to them as well. As we read the Bible, we find that God warned every group about their sin. There was no group in the Bible in which God did not give the opportunity to repent. You know, there is many things that are, of course, go on online and all of these types of things. And there was one man that going out and he had a huge following. His following has dwindled. And praise the Lord for that, because he was leading men astray and just preaching heresy. But there was a man, and this man, he was preaching that if someone is a sodomite, if they're a homosexual, this man was preaching that they all needed to be killed. That's what he was preaching. He called himself a Bible preacher. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches they need to be saved. They're guilty of sin, just like each and every one of us are guilty of sin. Yes, homosexuality, that is a sin against God. And we can stand up and boldly proclaim that. But the truth of the matter is, they are just people that are that have been led astray, people that need to be saved. That's what we see in the Bible. God gives the opportunity to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. He warns everyone. He does that through his word, but also through our conscience as well. Man knows right from wrong. Man knows in his heart what he should do. And God knows that we're rebellious. Therefore, he warns us over and over and over again. Praise the Lord for his long suffering toward us. You know, there are some people that get saved the first time they hear the gospel, but the majority of people, it takes over and over and over again. We have mentioned many times, me and Brother Delaney have talked about it a few times, how the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Praise the Lord for God's long suffering to us. You know, that he's willing to come back over and over and over again. You know, many times we've heard the gospel from one person and we've turned it down, but yet that person didn't give up on us. They told us again and again. But how many times have we given up on someone? Well, I've told them once already. I don't have to tell them again. No, we need to tell them again. And again and again. So notice here, not only the man Hosea, not only the recipients of the book, but I want you to notice number three here. Notice the purpose of the book of Hosea. The purpose of the book. Go through the book of Hosea, we're going to find that there was one primary focus through this book. I want you to look over at Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. You could call this the theme verse, if you will, of the book. The purpose of the book, Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. God's desire is for mankind to return to Him. That's His desire. Throughout this book, we're going to see that there are three primary main points, if you will, or three, we have the one purpose and three sub-purposes, if you want to call it that, or whatever you want to, however you want to mark it down if you're taking notes there. But notice, first of all, we're going to see the unfaithfulness of the people. Chapter 2 in verse 1, it says this, say ye unto your brethren, am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Notice there, we're going to see unfaithfulness of these people here. We see that this man, Hosea, he's going to be married to a woman named Gomer. And this woman is no doubt in the beginning, she was probably in love with Hosea. And no doubt they started out their marriage. And just as Israel was in love with their God in the beginning, but yet, unfaithfulness crept in. We see that Israel and Gomer, both of them are going to be found in unfaithfulness. Both of these, in both of these circumstances here, something happened. There was a time in which both parties, Gomer and Israel, they decided that they were going to be unfaithful. They were going to go their own way. They were going to pursue their own dreams. And we see that that led them further and further away than they ever wanted to go. We're going to see they find themselves steeped in all sorts of sin and idolatry and all of those things simply because they were unwilling to be faithful to their first love. Israel was the people. They were the chosen seed. They were the ones who were supposed to tell the world about the coming Messiah, yet they failed. And because of the hardness of their hearts, they failed against God. They fell into unfaithfulness. And how dare we as believers, ones who claim to be saved, ones who claim to know the Lord and Savior as our personal Lord and Savior, how dare we think that we are somehow above reproach? This is the very children of God, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, and they were unfaithful to Him. Each and every one of us, we could be unfaithful as well. We're just as guilty as Israel and Gomer were. Not because they had been dealt a bad hand in life. That's not why they were unfaithful. It wasn't because someone had hurt them or not because someone had done them wrong. They became unfaithful against God. She became unfaithful against her husband, and both of them became unfaithful because of one reason, because of the hardness of their hearts. That's why they became unfaithful. And had warned them over and over and over again, be careful, you're getting close to the edge, be careful. You're starting to slip. Be careful. That's not a path in which you need to go. But yet they continued down that path as though God didn't know what He was talking about. And many times we do the same thing. We're going through life and we have the Holy Spirit, and He's speaking to us saying, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't be around that person. Don't find yourself in the midst of this. Be careful. You're getting awfully close to the edge. Many times we have warnings upon warnings upon warnings. A preacher or another spiritual authority sees some things that just aren't right in our life, and they warn us. They warn us to get away from that sin, maybe the music. Maybe they're saying, be careful that music is not honoring to God. And people say this, well, I know, but it's what I like, and it isn't that bad. Be careful. Be careful. Getting away from the Lord. Be careful with your dress because it's getting close to the edge. Women, you should be wearing what pertains to a woman. We do not see in the Bible that women should be wearing pants that pertain to a man. Things like that. We should not be wearing revealing clothing, men or women. And many times we'll have someone come to us and say, be careful. It looks like your dress is slipping a little bit. Maybe young ladies here, your parents are trying to warn you. Be careful. You don't need to be wearing that. Be careful. That's too short, or that shirt is too low. Men, the shorts are getting too high, or men, that clothes are too tight. Whatever it may be, we have spiritual authority in our lives that are trying to warn us. The same way the nation of Israel was being warned here. But here's what we do many times. We do exactly what Israel did. You do your thing and I'll do mine. And we find ourselves in the midst of apostasy because we're willing to do what the Bible tells us to do. Many people, they will do something against the Bible for this reason. Well, that's just what I'm comfortable with. It's not about being comfortable. It's about being right with God. Let's follow the Lord. See, our flesh is going to lead us opposite of where God wants us to go. If we listen to our flesh rather than listening to God, we find ourselves in the middle of an adulterous relationship against God. We may find ourselves in an adulterous relationship physically, but especially spiritually. God is warning the nation of Israel against this, and He's warning us as well. I can think of a man and his wife who, praise the Lord, their relationship has been restored. But I can think of this man and wife as they were serving the Lord many years ago, and they're going throughout their life, and it seems to be like everything was going great. They were working in the church. Things were they were doing great things for God. And I can think of this the time that this husband and wife went through because the wife's dress was a little low in the front and it caught the eyes of another man. And it started something. And it led to an adulterous relationship. Almost tore the home apart. As I said, they have gotten things resolved and the Lord is working through their relationship again. But what happened? They let one thing slip. And then another thing. And then another thing. And they found themselves in a place in which they did not want to be. He was warning this nation of Israel against this, and He's warning us as well. Get away from the edge. Do not do things that take you from the house of God. Do not be with those friends. An ungodly influence. Do not go to those websites that are pulling you down. Get away from the edge. You see, before Israel ever turned to idolatry, they became unfaithful in their heart. And we see that the Lord is telling them to abstain from the heathens, but they rejected God's word. As we study the nation of Israel, what happened when they were led out of Egypt, when they were across the Red Sea and God was leading them into the Promised Land? What did God tell them to do when they were to go into a land? They were to kill everyone in the land. Why is that? Because God knew the idolatry that was in that land. And He knew that once they got there, if they were to listen to the influences of those people there, then that was going to turn their hearts away from Him. They were to get rid of everything that was there, and they did not listen to God, and that's where we find Israel in this passage. They didn't listen to God. Therefore, we find people that were of idolatry in the midst of unfaithfulness. Notice also throughout this book, we see the chastisement of the Lord. This is where Israel will find themselves. We're going to see that the north will be taken captive by the Assyrians. They're going to come in and take them captive, and God allows this to happen because of the sin that Israel had committed against His word. God had warned and warned and warned them. But now the warning is going to be over. Now God was going to allow judgment to come. We're going to see that as Gomer continues down the path of adultery and unfaithfulness, eventually she's going to find herself on the auction block. Literally, she's going to be on the auction block. This woman, who was loved by her husband above all, is going to be standing there being sold as an idol. A person is no longer seen as a human, but rather as property. That's the lowest of lows that a person can be. And that's where she's going to find herself, because of her unfaithfulness. How did she get there? How did Israel become slaves to the Assyrians? How did that happen? Because they were unfaithful. Because they rejected God's word. We see people grown up in church their whole life. Maybe they've got parents that were doing the right thing, bringing them to church and raising them the way that they should have been raising them with the power of the Holy Spirit. They were doing all that they could do. And then you find these young people, you find them pregnant outside of wedlock, addicted to drugs, and maybe as an alcoholic later in life. And this son who grew up in church, now so addicted to alcohol and physically beating his wife and kids. How does a person find themselves in those types of places? How does someone find themselves serving a life sentence for murder? How did that happen? They were raised in the house of God. They knew what the Bible said. They came to church. They went to Sunday school. They heard what the Bible said. They knew what God wanted them to do with their life. How did they get there? Because of the unfaithfulness in their heart. Because they harden their heart toward God. They're going to blame it on all sorts of things. Well, you don't understand what my mom or my dad did to me. You don't understand what this Sunday school teacher said to that preacher. You don't understand what happened. But the truth of the matter is, they cannot blame it on anyone but themselves. I understand things happen. The truth is, we have a decision to make. We're either going to remain faithful to God, who is always faithful to us, or we're going to turn unfaithful and find ourselves in spiritual adultery. People may be acting as though all is well. They may be making money, and you may be doing well in the eyes of man. But you can know for a certainty that if you're not obeying the word of God, chastisement is coming. It's going to come. You're going to find yourself in a place in which you never thought you would be. Simply because you rejected God and His Word. And when we come to that point, we cannot blame our parents. We cannot blame our upbringing or our church or our friends. We cannot blame our enemies. We cannot even blame God. We can only point the finger at ourselves, because God gave us everything that we needed right here. You find yourself in the place in which Israel and Gomer are going to find themselves as we go through the book of Hosea here. If you find yourself in that point, understand two things. First of all, understand that you're there because of your unfaithfulness to God. Second of all, understand that God wants you to come back to Himself. He wants you to be restored. And that's the third thing here, the purpose of the book. Notice the restoration of the land. We saw the unfaithfulness of the people. We see the chastisement of the Lord. But also we see the restoration of the land. Something that we all need to understand is this. God's desire is restoration. That's His desire. God desires for people to be saved and for people to be on the right track. All of those things that I mentioned just a moment ago, maybe those sins that I mentioned, maybe you're guilty of some or all of those things, or guilty of something that I didn't mention. The chastisement of God is not all that God has to offer. Why does He chastise? Because He desires for us to be close to Him. And he's doing these things to get our attention. We're going to go through this book. We're going to see that there was a relationship here of Hosea and Gomer, and it's a picture of the relationship of Israel and the Lord. And after the unfaithfulness, after the chastisement and all of that, the story continues. When Gomer was on that auction block being sold as a piece of property, someone showed up and paid the price. That someone was her husband, Hosea. The one who comes and buys her back. After everything that she had done to him, after everything that we're going to see that she is going to do to Hosea, we're going to see that he buys her back. Why? Because it's a picture of what God has done for each and every one of us as well. It's a picture of what God did for the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel sinned against God. They find themselves on the auction block. And yet Christ came and he paid for them. Hosea did that because he loved her, and the Lord did that because he loves us. Even though we've been unfaithful, even though we've done so much wrong, and while we're on the auction block of sin, someone showed up and said, I'll pay that price. That was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He did that for us. Once a person is saved, there's going to be times of unfaithfulness. But it's in those times in which God loves us enough to chastise us. Many times we look at chastisement as just some sort of punishment. And yes, it may be a punishment because of the sin that we're in. But the chastisement from a loving God is the greatest act of love that we've ever seen aside from salvation. Because he's trying to prove to us that he still loves us and he wants us to be close to him. Even in those times, we serve God who loves us enough to chastise us for the ultimate goal of restoration. You know, we see the unfaithfulness of the people. We see the chastisement of the Lord, but we see the restoration as well. And let's keep those things in focus. As we go through the book of Hosea, let's remember exactly what God has done for us. And as we go through these things, you know what we're going to see as we go through the book of Hosea? We're going to see how Gomer was unfaithful. We're going to see how Israel was unfaithful. And you know what Satan's going to want us to do? Satan wants us to see those things and say this, well, how could they be unfaithful to God? Everything that God had done for them, how could they be unfaithful to him? And Satan wants us to look at just what they had done. What we need to do is see, whenever we see Gomer, whenever we see Israel and the way that they sinned against God, let's put our name there instead. Because we've been just as guilty as being unfaithful to God. Let's realize there's a God who loves us, cares for us enough to chastise us, cares for us enough to keep us on the right track. Hosea was a prophet living amongst apostasy. But he was called to remain faithful. To be faithful. That's what he was called to do. And that's what we're called to do as well.